SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. A new week begins on this Thursday in New Orleans. Week number 7 around the National Football League kicks off with a Thursday night football game, a homecoming for some, as Sean Payton leads the Denver Broncos back to the Big Easy, a place he spent 15 years at the helm of the Saints organization, leading New Orleans to a Super Bowl back in 2009. We will break down Thursday night football, a matchup of two rookie quarterbacks with a very low total throughout this show. We'll get you caught up with everything you need to know from the opening day of practice for a new week in the NFL. Injuries, quarterback changes around the NFL, all on this Thursday on FFC. And of course, an eye on college football in what should be a wonderful Week 8 slate. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle, live on Sports Grid Radio until 1 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, yeah, great game tonight. So we'll see how it plays out. Denver and New Orleans, Bo Nix versus Spencer Rattler. This total, Ben, I've never met a total I haven't liked. This one, I can't get there tonight. I'm having a very difficult time getting over the number tonight, but I do lean to the Denver Broncos. I think they're a little bit more complete heading into this matchup. Certainly give Payton the edge over Dennis Allen, so we'll see how it plays out.
A 2.5-point spread in favor of Denver. The road team, the favorite, short week Thursday night football. Total working its way up, trying to entice the mastermind from 36.5 earlier on this Thursday to 37.5 for this evening in New Orleans. Again, we will fully break down and preview every single angle for Thursday night football and the start of week 7 around the National Football League in just a little bit. But Joe, Wednesday for everybody playing on Sunday is the true opening day of practice. You're meeting with the media, you're in front of microphones, you got guys back out on the practice field, either returning from an injury, who's fully available, who might be starting under center. Let's start with the New York Jets. Of course, the big story of this week, the acquisition, the blockbuster deal to acquire Devontae Adams, who, Joe, all of a sudden, a hamstring injury that had plagued Devontae Adams, missing 2 weeks for Las Vegas, has been miraculously healed. Maybe it's the water in the Hudson that has led Devontae Adams back to the playing surface, because interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich expects Devontae Adams to be fully healthy and a 100% go for Sunday night in primetime in the Steel City against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we'll see how this game plays out. Yeah, got a great defense in Pittsburgh. Who's going to be the starter? Will it be Russell Wilson? Will it be Justin Fields? And Devontae Adams is looking to be that spark plug for the offense. Now, here's the thing, though, Ben, right? We thought we would get a little spark plug with Ulbrich, the interim coach, on Monday night. They started fast, couldn't hold on for that victory. Now Aaron Rodgers gets another one of his requests. Devontae Adams comes here. They're going on the road. This isn't going to be an easy matchup. Is it a good fit? It's a good fit because you're getting Devontae Adams. It's a bad fit in regards to the younger players, and I keep saying this, in the locker room. Like, who's running the team? They're 2-4. You got an interim coach. They're bashing Salah as he comes out of the supermarket in New Jersey, bashing him over the head with a loaf of bread. He's trying to, TMZ is asking him questions. How do you feel, coach? And this team, if they lose, what happens then? Devontae Adams, in my opinion, is not the answer. It's not going to fix the potential defensive problems they might have. And this is it. I'm selling the team the rest of the way.
Yeah, Joe, we debated this on Tuesday. I'm sure you did yesterday with Scott Wetzel as well. What would be the actual impact of Devontae Adams? Hard to argue that one of the top 5 wide receivers in the National Football League over the last 7 to 8 years is not going to be a positive in terms of the overall offensive production. But is that the difference? Does it move the needle? Will it be worth it? Because, Joe, what you alluded to with the young and talented core that the Jets have and were supposed to be the foundation for even a mediocre quarterback to allow them to see the postseason again for the first time in more than a decade, those are questions that will have to be answered following 2024, because all of the chips are in the middle of the table. Everything has been invested into winning now, into snapping a 13-year playoff drought now. Will it happen because of Devontae Adams? He doesn't kick field goals. He doesn't play offensive line. He's not an interior defensive tackle that can slow down the run. That's been the issue for the New York Jets. Not wide receiver offensive production at this point. Joe, on Sunday night, the Jets and a healthy Devontae Adams. Again, miraculous how quickly he recovered from that brutal hamstring injury in Las Vegas. The Jets in another crucial game. Two games below 500, losing record 2-4, in another monumental primetime matchup, head to Pittsburgh. Who is going to start for the Steelers? It seems as though Russell Wilson is now going to be the starting quarterback. Back at practice yesterday, taking reps with the first team offense. Joe, we just heard from Justin Fields within the last hour, admitting himself he did not do enough to hold on to the starting job. If Russell Wilson, which it certainly seems that is becoming the case, if Russell Wilson starts for the Steelers on Sunday night, is Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh making the right call?
No, and I've said that from the get-go. You know, I hope they lose every game the rest of the way, because I don't believe Russell Wilson gives them the best opportunity to win football games. I just don't. And I've said it. I said it yesterday. I said it throughout the week. What happens if this team, you know, limps back to 500? What message does that send to the team when your starting quarterback was had three road wins and was 4-2 overall? What Justin Fields said to me just now, where he needs to play better, that's a leader, right? That's what the leader of the offense does. That to me is the guy that you turn to. I need to play better. That's something Aaron Rodgers, by the way, hasn't done in regards to the New York Jets, right? What a tale two different quarterbacks make. One's, you know, a star supposedly, and the other one is just trying to become the starter. And it's unfortunate. Yeah. What does the hiatus do then? He's missed basically 6 weeks. Is he going to be rusty? And is he going to be as versatile where Justin Fields is avoiding the rush and putting up 50-plus rushing yards a game with two touchdowns? Tell me what's going to happen.
Yeah, Joe, I don't think it is a benefit either. I do not think Russell Wilson, even as a veteran, playing efficient football is anything like we saw in his decade in Seattle. He has certainly not let Russ cook anymore. You can even look back on the 15 starts he made last year in Denver, throwing for barely over 3,000 yards, threw for more than 250 yards just one time from week three on. Now, he has played clean football, did last year at altitude, 26 touchdowns to only 8 interceptions. But if it's keeping care of the football, Justin Fields has done that. 5 touchdowns to 1 pick this year, 5 rushing scores. Russell Wilson is no longer the guy that can break, contain, and improvise and make something out of nothing. Justin Fields provides that. The rushing attack last week on full display in Las Vegas. Fields, 59 rushing yards, multiple rushing scores. Najee Harris over the century mark, finding Pater for the first time this year. In the last 4 games, Justin Fields has accounted for multiple touchdowns, either through the air or on the ground. I guess, Joe, you look at the yardage output. Justin Fields thrown for less than 160 in 4 of 6 games this year. But it wasn't like they tasked him with throwing 350 and 4 touchdowns. He went out there and he won games. I guess, and this is a guess, right? I'm just estimating what I believe Pittsburgh is saying internally. They believe Russell Wilson elevates the ceiling of this team to not just win football games, but maybe contend for a conference crown. I'm not sure I see it.
No, me neither. And again, I need to see the play calling on Sunday night. Is it going to be conservative, or are they going to open it up?
Yeah, we'll see, Joe. Total slightly on the rise, 38.5. Listen, the acquisition of Devontae Adams, the New York Jets should try to go over that by themselves if he is really going to be that crucial difference maker. More around the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. A new week in the NFL starts tonight. It is week number 7, a new week of practice for most clubs around the NFL in action on Sunday, starting yesterday on a Wednesday. Joe, we talked about potential quarterback changes seeming likely in Pittsburgh. Justin Fields stepping back, Russell Wilson stepping in to the starting role. How about in Indianapolis? As Anthony Richardson works his way back from a hip injury, a shoulder injury, whatever the cause that has missed him, or that has caused him, I should say, to miss the last 2 weeks. And in those 2 weeks, Joe Flacco does what he does well, steps into a role with the veteran experienced nature that he possesses, makes the offense look good, wins football games. Won last week on the road as a slight underdog in Nashville in a divisional game against the Titans. So, Lisa, got Anthony Richardson back on the practice field yesterday in Indy, is on track to start once again for the Colts, who at home on Sunday afternoon host the Dolphins. Do you think Anthony Richardson or Joe Flacco should be the starter for Indy on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I think it should be Richardson if he's 100% healthy, right? If he's not 100% healthy and that's supposed to be your franchise guy, then you allow Joe Flacco the opportunity to go under center. And Joe Flacco has played for not. What I want to know, Ben, is where is Joe Flacco channeling all this energy? Like, I mean, when he was with the Jets, he was absolutely pathetic, but another dominant performance. He put his team in a position to win that 20-17. I mean, he could certainly go out there against the Dolphins defense and engineer a victory. But if Anthony Richardson isn't complete 100% healed, then he should be under center, unless Shane Steichen thinks they move on from him, which from what I've heard is not the case. So again, I think this is going to be a difficult matchup though for Indy overall. I think the Dolphins potentially are a live dog in this matchup, but we'll see how it plays out.
They should be, Miami, right? Because they had the open weekend to get healthy, to figure things out, and mainly for Mike McDaniel to try to get some offensive production out of the NFL's worst scoring offense, at this moment. That is the tough part for the Finns at this point. But Joe, I agree. If Anthony Richardson is healthy, he plays. He has not been in the NFL for all that long. This is his second year, started 4 games last year, completed 2 of them. He has started 4 games this year. He has completed 3 of them. The issues that plagued him in his only fully starting season at Florida are the same issues that are plaguing him to start his career in the NFL. Inefficient, incompletions, less than a 50% completion percentage this year for AR. 2 touchdowns to 4 INTs. If he is going to be the face of your franchise and not just a highly athletic quarterback, he's got to get the reps. He's got to be out there. He's got to prove, Joe, that he is a better option than the veteran Joe Flacco, who might help you win football games, but certainly does not help your franchise for the next 3 to 5 years.
Right, and he has to develop as a pocket passer. Like, that's the biggest question now. He's been hurt in back-to-back years, Ben. Is the RPO game still a part of his game because of how injury-prone he is, right? That's what makes Anthony Richardson so dynamic, is not just his ability and live arm. It's the ability to break, contain, and make plays with his legs. If you take that out of the equation, he's basically, you can make the argument, an average, you know, pocket passer. And to your point, that's what he struggled with in Florida, 57% completion percentage. So that is the concern moving forward. It's okay if he's 100% healthy, but we now need to develop him in the pocket as opposed to then opening up the playbook and trying to make him, you know, utilize his legs on each and every drive. That can't be if he's not going to stand up to the pounding of the NFL.
Yeah, right, Joey. 6'5", he's 250. He runs like a battering ram. But if the issue is his now injury history, complicated with his inability to be efficient as a passer, that's not a recipe, of course, for long-term success or being worth the investment of the 4th overall pick in 2023. The Colts, a 3-point home favorite on Sunday as of this moment against the Miami Dolphins, who do have Tua Tagovailoa eligible to return from the IR a week from yesterday. Joe, elsewhere around the NFL, speaking of availability, we will see what some quarterback decisions are made. How about the Carolina Panthers? 8.5-point road underdog on Sunday outside the nation's capital against Jaden Daniels. If you are the Panthers, who now in Andy Dalton's four starts are 1-3, both straight up and against the spread, an underdog in all four, Joe, do you start to consider a return to Bryce Young? Might we see Young once again this season?
I would hope so. I mean, you know, because again, if they're just going to move on from Bryce Young, then ship him now, right? I mean, I don't understand what the situation is. Try to get some value for him now and just move on. If you wanted to develop him by keeping him on the sidelines, allowing him to watch the veteran and seeing if you could get a second reset, I would put him in regards to this matchup. And I actually like, it doesn't matter who starts, but I still think Carolina could be live just based off the number. I love Jaden Daniels. I love Washington. I love what they have done. But they shouldn't be 8.5-point home favorites over Carolina. I think this game could be a lot closer. If it's Dalton, they could be in striking distance potentially to strike the upset. I honestly believe that because of the number. So we'll see it. Look at Cleveland last week. Same number, and they almost struck the upset over the Eagles. So I would lean to Carolina in this matchup. If I was Canales, I would, in fact, try to at least incorporate Bryce Young over the next couple of weeks.
You have to, Joe. I think you really do. Carolina has been an underdog in all 23 games since the start of last year. They have won three of them outright. They have covered in five. They are 5-16-2 against the spread. They're not even competitive when nobody is expecting them to keep it close. That is not good. And although Andy Dalton has the veteran experience, he's not even really helping you win football games or cover numbers. You had to bench Bryce Young. I agree. Confidence was shot. You were in danger 2 weeks into the year and of your coaching tenure of losing the respect of your organization. But now you have to figure out if Bryce Young is going to remain in Charlotte beyond this year, if he could be a trade asset beyond this year, or what you are going to do moving forward. Thursday Night Football, a preview that comes up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. Week number 7 of the NFL season begins tonight in the Big Easy. The Saints play host to the Denver Broncos. 2.5-point spread in favor of the road team coming from Mile High. A total at 37.5, up ever so slightly from where it was earlier on this Thursday. Joe, before we get to the actual game breakdown, the players or the lack thereof that will impact the outcome, of course, the scenario and the atmosphere tonight in New Orleans. Sean Payton, after 15 seasons as the Saints head coach, the winningest head coach in that franchise's history, the longest tenured head coach in that franchise's history, a guy to deliver New Orleans a Super Bowl back in 2009. 9 playoff appearances, 9 double-digit win seasons in his 15 seasons at the helm of the Saints, makes his first return to New Orleans as Denver's head coach tonight. What do you think the atmosphere and the welcome looks like for Sean Payton?
Well, I think they'll welcome him, right? He brought a Super Bowl with Drew Brees years ago. I mean, I don't know if they're going to, you know, standing ovation like, Joe DiMaggio's coming back for, 15 straight minutes. But, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, all right, great, Sean's back. Okay, all right, wrap it up. Scrape him off the field. Let's go, kickoff. You know, I mean, I think he'll get a warm welcome and then it's just game on. You know, this is a team in New Orleans that does have their sights set in regards to a division title. Their starting quarterback's hurt, Derek Carr. Rattler came in, looked great for a second quarter, right? Threw it 40 times, but they have injuries. So what transpires tonight in terms of the X's and O's? You got basically no Olave. You have Rashid that's out, right? What is the wide receiver called? Bud Means is like one of the leading wide receivers tonight. Where'd they scrape him up from? I mean, that's a problem. So, you know, big picture, they have some football issues. That's why I lean to the under here and utilize Alvin Kamara as much as possible.
37.5. It will be the fifth time in seven potential games for Denver. A pregame total has been less than 40 points. For the Saints, it would be their first pregame total sub 40. A New Orleans team that was a dead under team last year, 11 of 17 games, who has gone over in 4 of 6 so far this season. Joe, New Orleans was one of the surprisingly impressive teams to start the year, a perfect 2-0. They had scored 44 points at least in each of their first two wins. They have now dropped 4 straight. They are 2-2 against the spread as an underdog so far this year, including a non-cover in Spencer Rattler's debut a week ago. And that's one of the other confounding points of this Thursday night matchup. It's a short week. It's a road game for Denver. It's two rookie quarterbacks. Bo Nix has started every game so far this year for Denver in his rookie campaign. Second consecutive start for Spencer Rattler, the fifth-round pick out of South Carolina. Joe, how do the rookie quarterbacks impact the amount of offensive production that we will see tonight?
Well, again, I think for Denver, right, they've strung together at least 3 wins over the last 4 weeks. They have the potential to you know, run the football, work off of play action. I don't think Sean's going to allow Bo to throw it 45 times against an above-average defense. I think it'll be a controlled passing attack. So a lot of Javonte Williams, maybe in the screen game as well. And I also think Bo Nix, he's got a pretty high number in terms of rushing total, potentially can make some plays with his legs. On the flip side, for New Orleans, are they looking at Spencer Rattler for the future? I don't really know, because the fan base loves Rattler. They hate Derek Carr. Carr's injured, but they're still fighting for a playoff berth. So tell me. If it were me, Ben, I would actually throw caution to the wind and say open it up for New Orleans. And the reason why I say that is you need to develop the backups. We see a bunch of people that, you know, like Huntley, that come in and aren't even ready from a backup role. If Derek Carr goes down yet again, you need to have Spencer Rattler ready. You can't just run the football with these backups.
No doubt about it. And Joe, I think there's a natural thought. We'll talk to running backs on the other side that it's a big Javonte Williams or Alvin Kamara night. That Alvin Kamara last week in Spencer Rattler's debut only got 18 touches for 64 scrimmage yards. Has to be more involved offensively this week. But we saw in Rattler's debut a helter-skelter game that was 51-27, where the Bucs led 17-zip after the first. The Saints led 27-24 at the break, only to not score again in the second half. And Rattler threw the ball 40 times for 243 yards. Again, plenty more from Thursday night next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Thursday night football tonight in New Orleans starts off week number 7. The Saints, a 2.5-point home underdog against the Denver Broncos, total 37.5. Lisi guy, we have talked about this. For New Orleans, a lack of offensive playmakers even available for this game. Chris Olave ruled out in concussion protocol. Rashid Shaheed, a knee injury suffered last week against the Bucs. He will need surgery before he can come back to the football field this year. Taysom Hill, a key component of the offense, has missed a few weeks. Doubtful for tonight, still dealing with a rib injury. On the other side, for a darn good Denver defense this year, no Patrick Surtain II, also dealing with concussion protocol and has been ruled out. So, Lisi guy, we were talking about the rookie quarterbacks, maybe giving them a longer leash than we might expect tonight. Both QBs, though, the passing yards prop is sub 200. Now 183.5 for Spencer Rattler, 194.5 for Bo Nix, working its way up by 3 yards from where the number was even just about two and a half hours ago.
Yeah, and you know me, I'm going to be working the game for 4 hours. I got to watch like paint dry tonight. That's the problem with these ball games when you do put together, you know, parlays or any type of bets. But I have to look at it objectively. Like, I know Sean wants to win games. He did this last year with Russell Wilson when they were trying to be in contention for a potential wild card. Run the football, stay close in the fourth quarter, and then try to pull it out the way they did against the New York Jets, right? I mean, who do you even back? Like, for me, the only guy I would back outside of Bud Means, and that's just because Means got a lot of targets last week, was Juwan Johnson. But honestly, is Juwan Johnson going to break out for 100 yards tonight? I mean, I hope so, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would agree with you, and we'll talk about those potential targets offensively in just a moment. Quickly on Bo Nix, he's thrown for more than 200 in 4 of 6 games this year for Denver. I like that look, especially against a Saints passing defense that is fourth worst in the National Football League, that has allowed 5 of the 6 quarterbacks New Orleans has faced this year to throw for 235 plus 4 of those 5 over 300. Bryce Young in week 1, the only quarterback with less than 200 yards so far. Bo Nix, who has had 25 rushing yards in 4 of 6 games as well for Denver, 26.5 is his rushing yards prop. Lisa, guy, to your point about Spencer Rattler last week, rookie quarterback making his first career start. Sure, the game was all over the place. The Saints trailed by 3 scores after 1 quarter, so they had to kind of let him air it out. But he threw it 40 times in that Clint Kubiak offense. He ran for 27 yards. He was sacked 5 times. New Orleans offensive line, not all that stellar this year. And if Denver, who is the 4th best total and 4th best scoring defense, is going to pressure Rattler, 20.5 his rushing yards prop, don't mind that look either.
No, especially if they play man-to-man coverage. You know, hopefully Rat can break contain and make some plays with his legs, right? You know, he's also a friend of the show. He was out there in the Super Bowl. So we love to see Rat break contain. You know, I know the fans in New Orleans love him too. Am I live? Are you live?
Am I live? You know, listen, you know those phone lines going to be popping in the Big Easy after Thursday night football. For a Denver team, Joe, that is 3-3 this year, and in those 3 consecutive wins, no interceptions out of Bo Nix. 5 INTs in the 3 losses for Denver. Not overly shocking that in winning football, Bo Nix doesn't turn the football over, and when they come up on the losing end, he is a little bit more turnover prone. Again, Joe, short week Thursday night football game. Denver, the road favorite. They want to get in. They want to get out. They want to do so with as little of an issue as possible. So naturally, the game flow thought then would be run the football, run it well against the Saints defense that has not been good this year, either defending the ground attack or the aerial attack, and trust in Javonte Williams. Rushing yards prop, slightly less than 50, about 27.5 his receiving yards number. Javonte Williams, 79 total touches this year, yet to find Pater. That's the most in the National Football League. Most touches without a single touchdown. How much does Denver rely on Javonte Williams tonight?
I think a lot. I mean, I think he could get to 60 yards. I mean, 44.5 is his, you know, number right now. If they're going to make a concerted effort to run the football and stay in manageable third downs on the road, then especially in the dome, right, that the noise could potentially be a factor as well. I think Javonte Williams has a huge role in this offense. So I would alt him up to 50 or 60 plus. I told you, I like Nix. I did alt him. Look at that number, 27.5. I altered him up to 40. I mean, both quarterbacks, maybe we take both quarterbacks tonight, 20.5 and 27.5. Rat is up to 21.5. Maybe we alt them up, both up. Maybe
Rat. You and your buddy Rat, huh? Friend of the program, Rat. Hey, how you doing, Rat? Joe Lisi, good to see you, Rat. How's it going? Good luck tonight, brother.
The snake.
That's good. That's good, Lisa guy. How about Alvin Kamara on the other side? 7 total touchdowns this year. Did score last week in Rattler's debut, despite only 64 scrimmage yards, 18 total touches. Again, short week, preparation without a lot of key offensive contributors for New Orleans. You would expect them to trust AK, 109 in a hook, rushing plus receiving, 67.5 on the ground, has the highest receiving yards prop for any Saints player at 36.5. What do you make of Alvin Kamara tonight against a really stout Denver defense?
Well, definitely going to be the number one option, but I utilize him in the screen game. I like the 36.5. I would alt that potentially to 50 or even 60. A lot of checkdowns, I think, for Spencer Rattler potentially tonight without any speed on the outside, especially with them double-teaming either Means or Juwan Johnson. Take your pick. That should open up Alvin Kamara. So I don't think – watch, Mason Tipton will probably break out for 150 yards tonight, right? Like, it would be amazing, yeah, but I think Kamara on the ground, but the Denver's front seven, very difficult to run on. We know the Jets didn't have great success, so that's why I lean to Kamara in the screen game or receiving game.
Listen, I'll just say this. If Mason Tipton went to LSU or Ole Miss or Arkansas or Oklahoma State instead of Yale, Lisi would be all over the 20.5 receiving yards prop tonight. The undrafted rookie wide receiver, Mason Tipton, a Yale Bulldog. Bup Means, fifth round draft pick from Pittsburgh, alongside his fellow fifth round draft pick in Spencer Rattler. Means, 5 catches this year, but a ton of targets last week in Rattler's debut. Tipton, 6 grabs this year. Juwan Johnson, 28.5 is his receiving yards prop. Lisa Guy, if we had to pick this game, right, just decide the winner, 2.5-point spread in favor of Denver, are you leaning Broncos in a low-scoring game? Where do you fall kind of side and how it looks from an offensive scoring production?
Yeah, I mean, again, my opinion on the total might change as I see the game playing out. But right now, if I had to give a score, 17-13 Denver. I think they do find a way to cover, grind it out, lower scoring, and I'll get out of doubt. But that doesn't mean this game can't get to the 40s. If I'm watching it play out and all of a sudden Chunk plays, then I'll change my mind.
Denver over in 3, under in 3, over in its last 2. Again, this is not like they need 49 points tonight. They need 38 to go over where the total is right now at 37 and a hook. 38 combined, I should mention. And the Saints defense, Joe, which is really the calling card for Dennis Allen, has been atrocious this year. And as of late, they've allowed at least 26 points in 3 consecutive games. They lost the game to Atlanta without giving up an offensive touchdown just under a month ago. From the NFL in the start of week 7, to an illustrious week 8 slate and a Saturday in college football. But before Saturday, Thursday and Friday, next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Listen, I know I virtually say this each and every week, but this Saturday, somehow, some way, might have the chance of being the best single Saturday we have seen in already an incredible 2024 college football season. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. The Saturday slate that we have week 8 is magnificent. A significant Saturday in the SEC that we'll detail for you in just a moment. But Joe, before Saturday, a good Thursday night game with a couple of power conference teams in action, an ACC affair on a Thursday night inside Lane Stadium in Blacksburg, Virginia. We've got a couple of ranked teams lacing them up on a Friday as well. Spoiler maker warning out in West Lafayette, and then a huge Saturday that is ahead. Lisa Guy, let's start with the Thursday night slate. Again, a really compelling ACC tilt between Virginia Tech at home in Blacksburg hosting Boston College. Now, Joe, Vaught Tech was a team that was under the radar, ACC sleeper type. They returned 21 starters, the most of any power conference program in the sport. frankly, it's been a disappointing start to Brent Pry and the Hokies campaign. Just 3-3, had the weekend off after the opening Saturday in October, handling Stanford and covering easily. Boston College has been tested as of late after a prolific start. They lost to Missouri, kept that game close. In their most recent game with Thomas Castellanos back, a loss against Virginia. Now they head to Blacksburg tonight. 7.5-point spread in favor of VT. How do you see the game playing out?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a tight game. And from the series perspective, I mean, it's always a war when Virginia Tech and Boston College come to play. But I actually think Castellanos and Boston College can move the football on Virginia Tech. We saw that Cam Ward had success in later in that matchup in the fourth quarter. I expect the same type of game plan out of Bill O'Brien. And I just think from just skill set, Ben, I think Boston College is going to be within this game. I know the game is played in Blacksburg, but I'm willing to take the 7.5. I'm even willing to potentially roll the dice on +230 on the money line here. I actually think that game could be live. I lean to the over, don't love it, but this is going to be a great game. I mean, there's no doubt this game could be a four-quarter game, and it might even be better than the pro game that we're going to see tonight. It's actually a pretty good slate of football. Georgia State and Marshall squaring off as well.
Yeah, I would agree, Joe. I really, really would. Boston College, best scoring defense in the ACC, allowing just 17.2 points per game. Virginia Tech has not been great defending the run this year, allowing nearly 171 yards, but the top two, or the second best, excuse me, passing defense in the ACC, only a .184. Joe, in BC's most recent game, now two Saturdays ago, against UVA, Castellanos was coming back from an injury that had sidelined him the week before against Western Kentucky. You would think with the open weekend, a little bit healthier. Again, Boston College, 2-1 against the spread as a dog this year, including that outright victory week number one against Florida State. We got Marshall, we got Georgia State, 8.5-point spread in favor of Charles Huff in the Thundering Herd tonight on this Thursday as well. And then, Joe, a robust Friday docket in college football. Duke and Florida State, the Blue Devils in Durham, 3.5-point home favorite. The Spoilermakers are waiting in West Lafayette. Number 2, Oregon, visits Purdue as a 28.5-point favorite after the huge win at home over Ohio State. And Joe, Oregon, one of 11 remaining undefeated teams, so is 13th-ranked BYU. Late night, Provo on a Friday for a Big 12 battle against Oklahoma State. BYU, 13th in the country, one of 11 undefeated FBS programs. One of two of those 11, Joe, that are also undefeated against the number. A perfect 6-0 ATS this year. Let's go to the Friday night slate. Let's start in Durham. Duke, 3.5-point favorite against the Noles. Will it continue to be a miserable season for Mike Norvell and FSU?
I don't think so. I think this is a get-right spot. I'm willing to back Florida State here on the money line, +128. And I know the last time I did this against SMU, they kicked me right in the chops and right in the stones. It was bad. But I'll tell you, I'm willing in this matchup with a week off of preparation to step up, take the 3.5, take the 128. Malik Murphy's been a great addition for that Duke Blue Devil team, right? Transferring from Texas, Manny Diaz has already exceeded the win total this year with 5 wins on the year. And I know they're playing at home, but this line is very fishy to me. I'm willing to take Florida State plus the points.
I mean, Lisa guy, you're right. This is a 5-1 Duke team, their first loss of the season in their most recent game, but still a 5-1 Duke team. Star Thomas, the New Mexico State transfer, has been good. Multiple games over 100 yards. Duke did lose on the road to Georgia Tech a week ago by 10, not covering even as a 7.5-point underdog. But if you are Mike Norvell and Florida State, if you have any bit of resolve, you have any bit of belief, you win this football game, or at least lose by only 3 and cover as a 3.5-point underdog. Joe, BYU and Oklahoma State, of course, it has been a down year for the Pokes, but a bye weekend to hopefully get things straight against a BYU team laying 8.5 at home in Provo. We know how good BYU is late night in Provo. Can they win and cover this game against Oklahoma State?
They certainly can. I was very impressed in the second half against Noah Fifita and that Arizona team. They shut them down. Retzlaff has been a great addition to that team in terms of his ability in the passing attack. Kalani Sitake, very disciplined this year. I'll give him all the credit in the world. Very critical of him. I will say this game last year was the game where BYU jumped out early in Stillwater. Oklahoma State and Ollie Gordon had a huge second half, and that's what clinched the Big 12 for them to be in it against Texas last year. The catching, it opened at 9.5, down to 8. Now, my heart wants to take the Pokes. They owe me. I'll close my eyes and take it. I hope they wear orange pants on the road because that's a key factor for me. Give me the Pokes. I think BYU might win, but I'll take the points with Oklahoma State.
11-7 against the spread are the Cowboys as a dog since the start of 2021. They have been good as an underdog for the entirety of two decades under Mike Gundy. Are we going to see Ollie Gordon II ever run for 80 or more yards again? He's been under that in five straight games. We shall see. More college football comes your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Nobody has beaten an AP top two team as an unranked side more in college football history than Purdue. 9 outright wins since 1950 as an unranked team against a team ranked either 1 or 2 in the AP top 25, which is exactly our scenario for Friday night at Rossade Stadium in West Lafayette, Oregon. Number 2 in the country after the monumental defeat of Ohio State on Saturday in Eugene is a 4-touchdown favorite against a team that is called the Purdue Boilermakers. But when they're unranked and a team has a top 5 ranking next to them, they've been known as the Spoiler Makers. But Lisi, this is not necessarily Jeff Braum. This is Ryan Walters in year number 2. Purdue as a dog, just 5-9 ATS since the start of 2023, covering for the first time against an FBS foe last week against Illinois. Mind you, taking the Illini to overtime as a 22.5 point dog, being down 27-3 early in the third quarter. Joe, can Purdue do the unthinkable and pull off a huge upset over Oregon on Friday night?
No. Yeah, I think they get smashed. And I was on Purdue with Ryan Brown plus the 22.5 against Illinois. 50-49. He had a dynamic performance, but here's the one thing. I am a believer in Dan Lanning. He stepped up, had his team prepared offensively and defensively. He made adjustments. He's a very good in-game coach. And here's the other thing. They're minus 2,000 to make the college football playoff now. I just don't see a tail off. I know in recent years with Brom there, that was the potential, but I can't do it with Walters and this team. Too helter-skelter.
Yeah, they have not been a good defense, which was Ryan Walters' calling card at Illinois when he was one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. Ryan Brown, nearly 303 touchdowns through the air and more than 110 on the ground. The freshman from Clarkston, Michigan, in his collegiate debut as a starter for the Boilermakers. A spark offensively. These are not your spoiler makers of old. They've got 2 wins against the number 2 team in the country in the last 5 full college football seasons, 2018 against Ohio State, 2021 against Iowa. But this is not necessarily the same program. It would be fun, even if for a moment. Joe, the Week 8 Saturday slate is too good not to preview. We'll do that tomorrow. Of course, we'll go through on a Football Friday each and every game, all 12 on the Sunday slate in the National Football League as well. But I ask you, Joe, of the 2 games on Saturday, a significant Saturday in the SEC, the 3rd Saturday in October, Alabama visits Rocky Top and Tennessee, the Crimson Tide, a 2.5-point favorite, or a top 5 tilt in Austin for the first time in nearly 2 decades. Number 1 Texas hosts number 5 Georgia. The Longhorns now a 4.5-point favorite under the lights in primetime. Which one are you more excited for?
I think Alabama-Tennessee. I am curious about that game because Alabama's won 16 of the last 17. That Tennessee offense has been struggling, got pushed to the limit. And we saw Alabama get pushed to the limit by Lenora Sellers. I'm definitely all in on both games, no doubt. But I want to see what transpires with Jalen Milroe and Kalen DeBoer on the road, especially calling out the fans in Knoxville saying that it's, you know, he played at Washington. He's heard how loud it is. That ain't loud. So let's see what happens in regards to that. Plus, it's a day game. I love day games.
Yeah, you love that 3:30 p.m. Eastern. I got some places to go. Yeah, 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah. Prime time, though, at DRK, excuse me. But when you have that matchup in Austin, it's the first top five tilt that the Longhorns have hosted since 2006. Texas 5-1 against the spread this year, a perfect 6-0, favored in all six games. Georgia, Joe, a really good team covering numbers in SEC play on this dynastic type run since the start of 2021 when, you know, we have looked at the numbers. They are not great covering large spreads in non-conference play with oftentimes some easy schedules. Not the case this year, though. Georgia 0-4 against the number in SEC games so far. They were 16-12 ATS since the start of 2021.
Yeah, I think, you know, Quinn Ewers, his the fact that he's a pocket passer, he's not Jalen Milroe. How does that affect the defense for Georgia? I'm curious to see, but I like the dogs.
Lisey, listen, we've got two really good offenses on display Saturday night in Austin in one elite defense, and it's not Georgia at this moment. He's Joe Lisey. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.